But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Happy almost Friday. Whew. It feels like a week. It definitely feels like a week where we're trying to get back into the routine. And honestly, there are times where it feels like I get hit by a semi truck. Now, that's unique to the overnights, maybe, just because it's hard sometimes to go from a couple of weeks of sleeping at night to then getting back on an overnight schedule. However, it's go time in football, and it certainly helps when you've got games that are can't miss. We've got our polls up. What is your AFC wildcard game of the week and your NFC wildcard game of the week? You can find them online at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours. And right now, we, no kidding, have a dead heat between the top two games in each of the conference. So I'll be anxious to see how these play out. We did, of course, see a change from the NFL, not waiting until the weekend, but on Thursday, making the call to move the Vikings and Rams to Glendale, Arizona, home of the Cardinals, so that they can not pull first responders or security people away from what is a much more critical job and a much more critical role in trying to not just put out the fires, contain the fires, but help the people in the LA area who've been displaced or who are dealing with these wildfires and the aftermath of seeing them ravage so much of that large metro. And so it's a really, I think, a sensitive move by the NFL, but also necessary because you cannot hold a game in the midst of natural disasters like this, especially with no guarantee that by Monday they will be contained. Thankfully, the winds are expected to shift and die down a little bit. And I know that that's great news, but there are so many already who have lost homes and businesses or who have had to evacuate. It's really a mess, as you can imagine. And watching it unfold on real time on TV or on social media, it's different. Sometimes I have to turn it off because it's so gut-wrenching that I really am unable to focus on anything else. But definitely been praying for the people of LA, specifically friends that I know, but also just that the fires would get contained and strength for our first responders, to be sure. It's obviously an intersecting with the sports world. And so if you hadn't seen, the Lakers game was postponed, was supposed to take place in LA on Thursday night, but also we found out that J.J. Redick did lose his home in these fires. We know that earlier in the week he was talking about his family. So his wife, and his wife has a twin sister. They were back home. They'd had to evacuate. They were freaking out about things. So he was admitting that there was a threat to his home as far back as Tuesday because of the evacuation orders. And he's not the only one in the NBA who's been affected. Steve Kerr was talking after the Warriors game on Thursday that he too actually suffered a loss. And actually he has a 90-year-old mom who is part of the fray there in Southern California and part of the evacuation orders.
It's been tough. My family's fine. My mom is in good hands, but her house is gone. And it's, so I've been on the phone with my siblings quite a bit. Family calls just with my mom, and she's got a lot of support and friends, and so she's safe and sound. But that's my hometown, and all my friends who are from there, pretty much they've all lost their homes, their family homes, childhood homes. Our whole high school's gone. The town looks like it's just been completely wiped out. It's surreal and devastating. But fortunately, almost everyone escaped. The pictures reminded me of Lahaina, from a couple of years ago. And so I'm so happy that, there wasn't the loss of life that people in Hawaii experienced. But it's it's hard to even fathom how Pacific Palisades rebuilds and how it becomes a thriving community again. It's just shocking.
So that's the voice of Steve Kerr, and he mentions his 90-year-old mom, that she is safe, she's okay, and his whole family is okay, but she did have to evacuate. And he said that he lost his childhood home in Palisades, and pretty much his entire neighborhood where he grew up has been wiped out, including the high school is gone as well. It's just another example with LA being such a large metro, so many people in the sports world that have ties there or who either spent time there, or grew up there. And that includes Steve Kerr. It also includes Kawhi Leonard. Leonard left the Clippers so that he could be with his family because they also had to evacuate. He purchased a home in the Pacific Palisades neighborhood in 2021 is what I read. And so his family is among those that had to leave. Have not heard an update whether or not his home survived. At this point, not everybody knows whether their home has been preserved or whether their home has been lost. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's the NBA world. We know hockey had a game that was postponed earlier in the week as well. And then thinking ahead to this weekend with the two LA teams that are scheduled to play. Now, the Rams game has been moved to Arizona. Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay talking about their city, Los Angeles, and the impact on so many people.
Every time we suit up, you know, we're the Los Angeles Rams. You know, we play for the people in this community, the people that support us. And this week will be, you know, another example of that, obviously. And, you know, it's I'm sure, hopefully a great escape for people who have been going through a lot of tough times, you know, here the last couple of days.
Our thoughts and prayers are with everybody that's been affected by, you know, these fires. It's one of those deals that almost doesn't feel real, but it certainly is real to the people that are affected. And, you know, praying, you know, that as many people are okay, and you know, you just see the amount of people that are affected, and it's, you know, it's one of those deals that, you know, it gives you perspective.
So Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford will now play their game in Glendale, and the league said it came to the decision after consulting with public officials and then the two teams as well as the Players Association, and a couple of miles away from the Rams training complex. So this is Woodland Hills neighborhood. There was another fire that broke out, and so they ended up having to cancel player media availability. Didn't hear from a lot of them. Chargers, they're of course getting ready to be on the road against Houston, but they have been practicing in the area. And we know that Jim Harbaugh had come up with a contingency plan to try to keep his guys out of the smoke and not breathing that poor air quality any longer than necessary.
We went by the reducing the amount of time, all the recommendations from the experts. Reduce the amount of time that they were outside and reduce the intensity of the workout.
We know that his two coordinators had said Jim Harbaugh's always got a plan. He's always thinking and coming up with a way to pivot and take care of the team. It seems like with his high energy level, but he'd be a guy whose mind would be racing a lot, and he'd be a guy who might have a lot of anxiety over this type of thing.
Excited. You know, that's the it's the level. Playoff football, you know, the whole, there were 32 teams. Now there's 12 that the football world will be focused on this weekend. So excited about that. But and we don't want to settle. We want more. We want to be there when there's football world's focused on 8 teams the next weekend, and then 4 teams the weekend after that, and then 2 teams the week after that.
So he's taking care of his guys, and he's looking ahead. And how often do we see athletes who are able to put aside some of the really tough real-life circumstances that we all deal with, whether it's family issues or in this case, natural disasters, having to pivot at the last second, and it's a different plan. You're playing in a different place. But you'll hear athletes that talk about the solace and the ability to mentally focus, and actually gives them a bit of a break from everything else that they're dealing with because they're able to lock it in such a way. Jim Harbaugh is really high energy. I can imagine that there's some anxiety in there, that he doesn't sleep a whole lot at times, but really looking forward to this opportunity for the Chargers as they're back in the playoffs. And I kind of like the idea of kicking off in the first game, get it over with. Now, I know that means your run could end early if you're on the wrong side of it. Say it's the Texans, it's the Chargers, one of those teams will be out. But I'd still rather, so that it mitigates my, I don't want to call it anxiety, but I am one of those people that when I have a lot of anticipation about a big event and I know I have to perform well, maybe it's a big show or I don't know, class I'm teaching, something like that, I want to get in and do it. My mind will keep going until I have the opportunity to perform. And so I think if I were the Chargers or the Texans, I'd be pretty happy that I could get it over with or get that kickoff in first. Instead of waiting all weekend, maybe waiting until Monday. We'll hear from the Vikings a little bit later on. But yeah, that's the game that ends up getting moved to Arizona on Monday. Which one is the AFC game of the week for you? If you're ranking them, I know sports fans, we love to rank things. Or if it's NFC, either one. You can vote in our polls, one or both. I mean, why not both? Why would you vote in one? It seems like it's really easy because they're right there at Amy after hours. And it's pretty impressive, not only how many people are weighing in already, but the fact that we've got some really tight races. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. There are in each poll two games that have taken a lead but are going neck and neck. And we'll do a little bit on each one of these games heading into the weekend, just because I know a lot of you want to talk about them too. And you always will find me on social and ask me, what about this team? Does this team have a chance? Or do you really think this team could have a chance? Blah, blah, blah. Of course, they're in the tournament. Of course, they have a chance. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227 if you want to talk about them. Now, we've got the college football semifinal on Friday, and this is really important information. Are you ready? Here you go. You ready? It's taco night at our household. We've decided not just taco night in terms of having our wraps or our corn chips, and we've got a bunch of toppings. So we'll do the meat, and we'll put, now sometimes I can convince my husband that mushrooms need to be in there because I love mushrooms. But at the very least, onions and pepper that will be in with the meat and the seasoning. And my husband actually makes his own taco seasoning. It's pretty good. It could be a little spicier, but it's pretty good. I guess we could add something else to spice it up. He's a big fan of Red Hot or taco sauce or hot salsa. But also, we're going to have the meat, and then we're going to have some of the sauces to go on top. Sour cream, cheese. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's making jalapeno poppers, which are jalapenos that are stuffed with some type of cream cheese concoction. I actually don't do well with jalapenos that are served at a restaurant or anything like that because they make the top of my head burn. I don't know why. It's very weird. I can get to medium salsa. That's about it. I don't do super well with the hot, hot, hot pepper stuff. So if I just eat a regular jalapeno, I'm not kidding. My scalp feels like it's on fire. Am I the only one that happens to? I probably am. It feels like it's really warm up there. Like the top of my head I don't know, just odd. It feels odd. Like it's tingling, and it's the heat of the jalapenos that go straight to my scalp. Anyway, he scoops out all the seeds so that they're not quite as potent and they're delicious. So we had him as an appetizer for Thanksgiving when we had some family members in town and they were a big hit. And now he's going to make a few more for what is our Friday night date night. It's amazing how many times Friday or Saturday date night has turned into a football event this year. Because he's a big Longhorns fan. So we're excited about Ohio State, Texas. I don't know if he'll yell at the TV this time. It kind of depends on how the game goes, but I've heard some yelling at the TV. We do have a new dog in the house. I don't know how she'll deal with the yelling. I know she's afraid of trash cans when they fall over. And the wind has been howling. Oh my gosh. I know in Los Angeles, they've had the Santa Ana winds that have gone up to 98 miles per hour in some places with the gusts. I wouldn't say it's quite that drastic, but we've had winds in the Northeast, 50 plus miles per hour, some gusts, and they're kind of rocking the house. And so for that reason, in our neighborhood, you're dodging trash cans and debris, branches as you're driving to the house. Actually, Ryan, did you work on Thursday? Oh, today's Thursday. Did you work on Wednesday?
No.
Okay. So as I was leaving, so I drove in Wednesday night, is leaving Thursday morning. In the middle of Midtown, I'm driving up to the Lincoln Tunnel from Lower Manhattan where our studios are. I'm dodging trash cans. So it was also a trash day in Manhattan, apparently. And people, after they'd gotten emptied overnight by the trash crews, people had not picked them up. And there were big, humongous, you know, it was like large, industrial, blue, empty trash cans that are flying around the main roads. So we got a four-lane road heading uptown, and there's trash cans that you're dodging strewn across the street.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, in my neighborhood, there was like at least seven trash cans, I guess, piled up in the street just because they didn't decide to put them back.
Right. And the wind grabbed
them and swirled them and then put them in one spot in the middle of the street. So Someone had to double park, get out, move it.
Right. So I actually did not stop and move the trash cans back to the side of the road. I feel like that's taking your life in your own hands in the middle of Manhattan. So I didn't do that. But yeah, it's the same thing in my neighborhood. We've got a bunch of empty trash cans that are against our fence, but I've had to go and retrieve them from our neighbor's yard a couple of times because they keep blowing around. So trash cans are Flower's nemesis. She's had a really bad experience with a couple of trash cans, so she's nervous about trash cans. Haven't even tried to walk her the last couple of days in the morning because she slinks low to the ground and sticks her tail between her legs. Trash cans scare her half to death. I guess if we are needing her to mind or learn something, I guess we can threaten her with trash cans. Poor thing. She's such a goof. We'll see how she does with yelling at the TV. At A-Law Radio, our Facebook page. I swear I'm going to get those couple of polls up so you can do AFC and NFC games of the week on Facebook as well. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I just saw this post by Danielle on our Facebook page. Totally off topic here, Amy. But for your taco night, your jalapeno poppers, if you wrap them in bacon, they're phenomenal. I did forget to mention that. Oh my goodness, my husband's going to be mad he'll be annoyed when he hears me forget to mention that they are bacon wrapped jalapeno poppers. So Danielle, thank you so much for recalling that. Yes, absolutely. They are phenomenal. In fact, as I opened up the fridge on Wednesday afternoon, when I woke up, I saw the bacon in one of the drawers and thought, bacon? Where did that come from? Because I had just gone to the grocery store and I didn't buy the bacon. So he had purchased them specifically for the jalapeno poppers. And there's a lot more bacon than we'll need for the poppers. So that means extra bacon after he cooks it. Yeah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's almost Friday. Not the first Friday of 2025, but the first Friday following the first full work week of 2025, which is a completely different animal. 855-212-4227. You can vote in the AFC and NFC games of the week. In addition, I'll get those up on Facebook, I swear, during the update at the bottom of the hour. We do have an update to a recent interview and topic that we covered extensively. So on our last show, we had spoken with Vegas Raiders insider Hondo Carpenter. And the big topic was replacing the head coach and the fact that Tom Brady is extensively involved with Mark Davis right now in investigating, looking at the entire organization under a microscope. Well, we may have thought that Tom Telesco was going to survive this house cleaning. He was going to survive this inspection of every area of the Raiders organization, but that is not the case. They just hadn't gotten him yet. 2 days after firing Antonio Pierce, Tom Telesco also gets the axe. The team, of course, issued a statement. We wish Tom and his family all the best. Well, that's really nice. I hope that he has a nice severance package. Telesco is actually the one that drafted Blake Bowers, so I feel like he should get Brock Bowers, sorry. He should get extra credit for that because that was a smooth move. And Brock will absolutely be a force as long as he stays healthy. But Telesco also signed Gardner Minshew and has failed to find the right quarterback fit, even though he wasn't given a whole lot of time. He was hired, last January, I think. And so he's been in place a year. I don't know how you're able to change, improve, beef up the roster, find the right fit when you don't have a high enough draft pick to get to any of these quarterbacks that were taken in the first round last spring, and you're left with essentially trying to find one in free agency. So the Raiders decide they're going to start fresh. They get to keep Brock Bowers, but Telesco's out. So now it's general manager and head coach and coaching staff that all need to be hired and all need to pass the Tom Brady test. It's clear that he is raising the standard and that Mark Davis is raising the standard because of Brady's involvement now. And I will come back to my point earlier in the week. I can't see any way that the other owners don't decide Brady can't do both. He can't be a broadcaster. Even with the limitations the NFL has put on him, he can't be a broadcaster and have access to inside information the way that he does and also be an owner, especially this involved. I know technically he's a 7% minority owner. That's not a lot, but he's Tom Brady. And Mark Davis can have him as involved as he wants him to be. So now it's Tom Telesco and it's Antonio Pierce they have to replace. And we know that Mike Vrabel was set to interview with the Patriots on Thursday, but the Raiders too. They're putting names out there as they bring in candidates. And similar to what we're hearing from Chicago, the Raiders are also casting a bit of a wide net, if you will. And I think that's not just about the team playing in Vegas and brand new facilities, but it's also about getting as many new ideas in, trying to figure out the right fit as they once again start over fresh. It's frustrating for Raider Nation, I'm sure. But at least misery loves company. And there is plenty of company when it comes to this revolving door, if you will, in the NFL. It doesn't work. This is the first time in, 5 years the Panthers haven't fired a coach midseason? So they actually make it all the way through a year with Dave Canales. It's crazy that we have to set off fireworks to celebrate that for the Carolina Panthers. But think about some of the other teams that have gone through just this endless cycle, and it never ends well. The Patriots are just now dipping their toe in the water when it comes to shuffling people in and out. The Browns have done it, though Kevin Stefanski's been stable as the head coach, but they've had how many quarterbacks per season? Yes, even with the Deshaun Watson money, they had to pay other quarterbacks because they needed them. The Jaguars are about to change coaches again. It sounds like Brian Callahan is going to survive the 3-14 season for the Titans. They're going to give him a little more time. Great. But the Raiders are stuck in it. The Giants are going to stick with their coach and their general manager for now. But they're about to change quarterbacks again. I mean, Daniel Jones not been healthy even before he was released by the team. The Bears changing coaches again. The Saints are going to end up changing again. And so if you're constantly hitting the reset button, constant change equals constant losing in sports. Tried and true formula. And the Raiders right now are stuck in that cycle. So maybe they end it at this point. It ends with us. It ends here. Isn't a movie recently? Some kind of really popular movie. It ends with us. I'm not so cool, but I feel like I remember that title. A rom-com of some sort.
Is that the one with Andrew Garfield?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look it up. Marco Belletti knows nothing about these things. And so he's making a face like I have no idea what you're talking about.
I like movies a lot. I have no idea what that is, though. If it's the Andrew Garfield, is that the one with...
hold on.
I forget
Blake
her name.
Blake Lively. Not Sydney Sweeney. She was the one with Glenn Powell. That was the one that went so uber popular.
That one, I don't know. I was thinking, Andrew, I don't remember.
We Live in Time, Florence Pugh.
Before I was going to say Florence Pugh. Yeah, I don't know
this one.
You were
going to say Florence Pugh?
Is the one that I knew was starring in a movie with Andrew Garfield, yes. But I don't know the name of these movies.
Okay, so Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell were in Anyone But You. It turned into like this huge cult flick. I think it was 2023, so I think it was last year. It Ends With Us is Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni.
Is that the one where she's suing now, or he's suing? That's the drama that's going on.
Right. That's right.
See, I know some things.
But
not
did
a lot,
you know
but
the name? Did you know the name of the movie though?
No, I had no idea.
It Ends With Us.
No. Well, apparently it's.
Yeah.
Whatever that situation is, it's ending with them, yes.
Yeah, so there's a lot of back and forth, he said, she said, but Baldoni is actually making some pretty hefty allegations against his co-star, Blake Lively. So I suppose that derails the movie a little bit, or maybe it turns out that it attracts more people. It Ends With Us, 2024.
That kind of messed up the other Florence Pugh movie with Olivia Wilde.
What kind of messed up Florence Pugh movie?
With
what's
Olivia,
the first Florence Pugh movie?
Well, we just said with Andrew Garfield. I forget the name of the
We Live mentioned. In Time is that
there
one.
There you go. Okay. The other one a couple years ago with Harry Styles and Florence Pugh and Olivia Wilde. There was all that drama with going on with them. And I think it was somebody.
Spicky. There was Spicky with Chris Pine.
Chris Pine. That was the other. Yeah. And
oh,
then
Chris
that
Pine.
Kind of
yeah,
destroyed that movie, too.
Uh-huh. All right. We'll see.
See? Drama no good for movies.
Drama no good for dramas. All right. Coming up next, Stacey Dales of NFL Network. She's got Packers, Eagles, but also entrenched in the NFC North because she's based in Chicago, frequent guest on our affiliate there, AM 670 The Score, so a familiar voice in the Windy City. We'll talk to her about Wild Card Weekend. 855-212-4227. It's Anyone But You. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Sam Darnold lines up under center. Darnold will drop down to a knee, and that's it. The Detroit Lions have won the NFC North. They are the top seed in the NFC playoffs for the first time in Lions history. A dominating win for the Lions to close the regular season. Detroit 31, Minnesota 9.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Amazing. Ryan Radke with the call on Westwood One. That's how we wrapped the NFL regular season and it's full speed ahead into Wild Card Weekend. Which is the AFC game of the week and which is your NFC game of the week at Amy After Hours and on our Facebook page as well. Excited to see your votes as we head into what is this first weekend of the NFL tournament. And to that end, had a chance to catch up with senior NFL reporter Stacey Dales of NFL Network. She covers the NFC North. She's heard a lot on our Chicago affiliate, AM 670 The Score. Because of her schedule, caught up with her a few hours ago. She's immersed in the NFC North. Stacey, how would you describe the kind of year the North had?
Yeah, Amy, you know, 16 years in the NFL, and obviously I'm based out of Chicago. I cover the whole league. However, in all the memories that I have, which were some pretty good ones with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, this is the best widespread, most talented division in terms of the North that I can remember. Like, it's been sort of a roller coaster for the division. Like, if you could imagine being Detroit and Minnesota having to play for an opportunity to get the number one seed, both with 14 wins to close out the regular season, it's insanity. And then the Packers, whom I'm covering this weekend in Philly, they've been no slouch this season, and they're won a bunch of games too. So, like, it's nuts when you think about just how talented, and we'll see what happens with Chicago and their coach and their rookie soon to be kind of sophomore quarterback in the NFL, and see what happens. But yeah, it's been pretty incredible to be at a lot of those games and see the talent and the competitiveness within the division.
It's amazing how quickly, too, because just 3 years ago, Dan Campbell, his first season with the Lions, they were 3-13, and now they are the top seed in the NFC. That fan base is on fire. So as you've watched this progression with the Lions specifically, what stands out to you about Campbell in the times covering him, but observing him with his team?
He has a sort of magical way of getting buy-in in a very authentic manner from his players and his staff and his coaches. They believe what he says. There's an authenticity at his core and a resilience. You know, when I'm on the phone, I've had a lot of Lions games this year, and when I'm on the phone with players, like, I treasure those opportunities to learn about teams. And I think probably almost every player I've talked to on that team, which has been a chunk, were built for this. Like, the message, they believe it. Like, to see the rash of injuries on that defense specifically, you know, obviously Aiden Hutchinson was the big one, but even Marcus Davenport before that, and then just a number of starters across the board, and they still are winning. And even the local beat people kind of marvel at it. So I just love the leadership of them and their veteran quarterback, Jared Goff, and his offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. It's just a really well-oiled machine, not unlike the way kind of right now the Chiefs are playing, also the number one seed on the other side. So, you know, you feel like you watch that Minnesota game in week 18 with the Lions, and gosh, that's the best game I can recall in, you know, recent weeks that they've played in totality in terms of the second half of that game. So impressive to watch, Dan.
So we'll talk about the Chiefs. I can't wait, because I know you're with them on Christmas. But in terms of the Lions defense, you point out this was the best game they'd played in quite a while. Mm-hmm. They get Alex Anzalone back. Well, what have you heard from the players themselves about having to absorb so many injuries on that side of the ball?
No excuses, right? Zero excuses. But it was really cool after my postgame interview was with a left tackle, Taylor Decker. And for a player in a postgame interview to bring up Alex Anzalone's impact, and kind of out of the blue, like from the offensive side, to bring up Alex, like, it just shows you the type of leaders they have on that team. And he is second to none, one of the best in the game at his position. And as a leader, they don't have excuses. And Terrion Arnold's going to be dealing with this foot issue, and told me in the locker room after, like, I'm playing. Like, I don't care what it is. I'm playing through it. So it's just a resilient bunch. Everybody's banged up, Amy, right?
Yes,
like, at this stage in the season. And so, I mean, the game I'm covering this weekend, Jalen Hurts has missed back-to-back games with a concussion. We're expecting him to go. And Jordan Love, the quarterback on the other side, got his elbow dinged up against the Bears and just an unusual loss to them in Week 18. So everybody's banged up, and may the best team remain standing at the end.
Stacey Dales is with us from the NFL Network, a senior national reporter, and is covering Packers and Eagles as part of Wild Card Weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As you're preparing for this game, the Eagles went through this sojourn last season, right? They come out of the Super Bowl, they change coordinators, it's a bit of a mess, they fall off the cliff at the end of the season, don't really recover, and now here they are again. As you prepared for them and seen them this year, what's been key for their resurgence?
Well, they got a chip on their shoulder. The way that they closed out last year, I would argue any one of those players would say they were embarrassed by it. And it was just very dysfunctional, right? And so when you talk to him now, and I'm about to jump on the phone with Jordan Mailata, who might be playing the best at the left tackle position in the entire league in terms of his grades. And they've had a few Pro Bowl snubs on their team. This is a team that they got the best defense in football right now. And you're talking like number one pass defense, the number one total defense. They're really stingy, even against the run, which is going to be important on Sunday. But Vic Fangio's got those guys lit up defensively. And I think from an offensive standpoint, when you're dealing with Saquon Barkley, you're dealing with a monster back there. The Packers have their hands full. They lost some momentum at losing to the Bears heading into this one. Jordan Love's dinged up. We'll see what happens with him. But you better be ready to stop the run on Sunday if you want to advance in the playoffs.
It seems like so much of the attention is on the NFC North for good reason. The Lions, the Vikings, the way they've wrapped the season, this potential for these two teams to finally win a Super Bowl, or the Bills. Almost like the Chiefs are flying under the radar. They clinched that one seed so early, right? How is that possible? They're going for history too, and yet they're not the number one topic of conversation, Stacey. Well, what was it like to spend Christmas with them?
I did a report in game on Netflix. They think they're playing their best football and they're healthy. And, you know, conversations I had with Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator, and players, and Patrick Mahomes, and production calls. And now they got some time off. I feel like the Chiefs defensively, they're always going to be strong. Bags is going to have that group. Chris Jones didn't play on Christmas Day, so he's going to get that extra time to rest. I said it before, but they really feel like they're playing their best football. They feel like they're peaking in Kansas City at the right time. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see how the Bills come out in this thing, because I think they've been on a mission this season in terms of the AFC, and I think Josh Allen is playing as well as I've ever seen him. He's as lean and mean as I've ever seen him. Their ability to score on the ground and use those legs to get in and score touchdowns has been awesome with Cook in the backfield, James Cook. And I think that, you know, they're playing their best football. So we'll see how they kind of come out, you know, this weekend against the Broncos. But it's going to be a great playoff, and I'm super pumped about it. I can't wait to see, you know, Detroit and the rest that it gives them. And equally with the Kansas City Chiefs, look for their third straight Super Bowl, which has never happened, as you know, Aime.
Right. So, Stacey, you are also a correspondent with AM670 The Score, which is our affiliate in Chicago. They carry my show, and I know they're passionate fans. It's been a tough run for them. People speak so highly of Matt Eberflus. I know you did when he got hired. Yeah. I remember one of the reports that you did on him. When you think about that organization and the expectations, of course, and Caleb Williams, they ended on a high note, but what do they need there to be able to join the rest of that division and be a force again?
Yeah, it's a great question, because there's been so many like notoriously bad years for the Bears in terms of losing and struggle. You know, Matt Eberflus, he's a wonderful guy, and he's going to be a defensive coordinator somewhere next year. Wherever that is, it remains to be seen, but he will be. He's an incredible defensive mind. But, you know, it really just came down to, you know, closing out games, winning situational football, and having a group of players that could buy into that. I think being the first overall pick at the quarterback position is daunting. You could argue for every single one of those men that was chosen in that spot historically. Go ask Troy Aikman. I could go down a list of them. But, you know, he's got a lot of promise. I think, you know, he's probably going to take away things that he needs Caleb Williams to learn in this offseason, and how he reads and studies coverages and studies defenses, and how, you know, he needs to understand his progressions, and that they need to marry him up with a really good offensive mind. Whether that's an offensive-minded head coach or not. The list is long. I think, you know, they're doing a much more detailed search this time with Ryan Poles still in charge at the GM spot. They need a leader. They need a leader that players can buy into, and a plan for the future, because Bears fans are tired, and they're tired of losing. So we'll see what direction they go, and sort of, you know, how Ryan Poles decides to choose his next head coach and really according staff.
Are you ever surprised? You've covered the league for a long time. Ever surprised at how all-consuming it's become? And this time of the year is go time. We're a month from the Super Bowl, but it really never slows down.
It never does. It's 365. I tell people all the time, like, when do you get a break? I'm like, I don't. I go right from the Super Bowl to the combine to the draft, and then we're into, like, summer off-season things. So it's 365. It's made that way for a reason. Who doesn't love the National Football League? I mean, we're expanding overseas, and people can't get enough of it, which will be the case this weekend, and it will be the case forever.
Absolutely. Stacey Dales is an NFL Network senior national reporter. You can catch her this Sunday on NFL Network's NFL Game Day Morning, which starts at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific, but also on Packers-Eagles, which will be awesome. Love to have you on the show again. It's been too long since we've spoken, but thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Well, you're a legend, Aime, and any time I can help out or join, it was an honor to be with you, and we'll be you guys hit me up anytime. It's great to talk sports with you.
We will take you up on that. Thanks again, Stace.
You got it.
A legend. I appreciate her compliments. She's awesome, and I did cover her when she was playing college basketball at Oklahoma. I was early. In fact, it was my first full-time sports job, so it was early in my career. I was young. She was young, too. It's crazy that it's been 20 years, but a legend? I don't think I'm legend status. That applies to Larry Bird, Larry Legend. I don't know about being a legend when I still have many more years to go. But it's great to have Stacey on the show. We were joking about the fact that even though we're very aware of what the other has done for the last 20 years and we kept tabs, we haven't spoken in 20 years, which is incredible. She used to come on my local show in Norman, Oklahoma. All right, your votes are coming in as she and I talk about the NFC North and some of the playoff matchups this weekend. What is your NFC wildcard game of the week? We've got a healthy voting right now, a healthy balloting. But even more so in the AFC, where two of the games are separated by not even a percentage point. So you better go check it out. At Amy After Hours, now on our Facebook page. We're halfway through. Whoo! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.